Hello, how are you?
Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for being here. This is the Between Me and Drew podcast with Clara Joyce Flowers, and we have someone pretty cool here with me today. We have Marjolyn Burby from Leo Burby Bell Company in the flesh, believe it or not. You've heard me talk about Leo Burby Bell Company out of Marysville many, many times on previous episodes for a lot of things. You know, we get a lot of our product through Burby's. They sponsor a lot of our episodes. And I'm actually in Marysville right now recording this. And I'm super excited. We've got three things that we're going to talk about. Marjolyn kind of has a general idea of what's going to go down. And this is going to be very casual. We're going to talk about kind of who Leo Burby Bell Company is, what they do, kind of how the company has grown and changed over the past few years, and then kind of their clientele that they service, who we are as clients, the different clients, like the needs of their clients, etc. So we'll get into all that in a minute. But you ready?
Yeah.
We'll jump right in.
I know.
Okay, cool. Yep. So I met you spring of 2020.
Yes.
It was
February.
February. We were in Ohio.
Yep.
Oberlin mm-hmm. for the ASCFG conference. Mm-hmm. And previous to that, we'd only like talked on the internet and on email.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was, I remember, like, I was sitting in the lobby.
I do too.
And then, like, you walked in with Dave. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh my God.
I know. I literally felt like I was, like, meeting my best friend / celebrity.
Jesus.
/ I just knew you forever. It was just like tears and stars in my eyes and just right across from each other. We just basically jumped into each other's arms.
It was so magical.
It was.
Somebody should have recorded
it. I swear.
Could have sold it and made some money.
It really was, yeah. And here we are 3 years later and...
talking shit to nerds on the internet.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
It's going to be so much fun.
It is.
So how long have you been... in the bulb industry?
I've been working in the bulb industry, I would say probably 22 years, but obviously, I mean, the memories of the warehouses in Holland and counting bulbs when I was 8 years old and, you know, so I would say it's just in my blood, but working at Burby Bulb Company and taking over with my brother, we're going on 23 years.
And you say taking over because yes. This
It's a family business.
Right.
My grandfather started it. And then my dad, being one of 11 children, he decided to branch into the United States because they were exporting so much out of Holland into the United States. And so... in 1982, made Marysville its permanent home, and then I went to college to study early childhood education.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I did, yeah. And so I always say, well, I went from one nursery to another. so I went from nursery children to nursery garden center. But my brother's 3 years younger. And when he finished up high school, my dad said, oh, wouldn't it be fun to start a garden center? So anybody who's listening who has a garden center, I know you're laughing.
So much fun.
So anyways, but yeah, no, started a garden center. And I worked on the weekends and helped out and really kind of loved it. I mean, I love the... first and foremost, I loved being with my family. So it was not only my brother, but also my parents. So I decided to I don't want to say I was working part time in the Dutch Mill Greenhouse, which is our garden center, mm-hmm. In front of Leo Burby Bulb Company, and then I just became my full time job. My dad, it was not something that he said, yes, please come on board. Actually, my mom said, yeah, just let her do it. And one of the ladies was retiring, and I jumped in and. Here I am. I still have the same office. My dad is still there 7 days a week. And my brother runs the garden center.
I met my husband at a trade show. Mm-hmm. I guess this is a long-winded answer.
Please go.
A long-winded answer. So went to the Cultivate show in 2006 and met Dave, my husband. He was working for a company out of Northern Ohio called Grimes. Yep. They have since closed their door. But
R.I.P. Grimes.
Yep, R.I.P. And met at a trade show. And, you know, next couple years later, he moved down here and started working not only in our garden center, but running our broker department, which we can maybe touch on later, or he will.
Yep, we're going to talk about Dave.
What he does. So, you know, we are full-on family, mm-hmm. family business.
Yeah, and you cover like a large like range of product amongst the people that are involved. Because like with Dave, we can get like rooted cuttings, we can get plugs, we can get perennials, we can get annuals, we can do all of that. Willow, yep, from us through Dave.
Yep.
And then through you, it's not only like fall bulbs, things like tulips, hyacinth, of which I still have sitting in my cooler.
Well, you won't when this.
I won't, not when this happens. Oh, shit. But also like a bunch of like a whole lineup of spring stuff.
Yes.
So what does that seasonality kind of look like for you?
I kind of put us similar to like a school. We get hot. We start going really out the starting gates in September.
Right.
So I would say September is tulips, hyacinths, daffodils, crocuses, alliums, ranunculus, anemones, amaryllises, paperwhites. Christmas time again, amaryllises, paperwhites, oxalises, which are the shamrocks for St. Patrick's Day. And then January kicks off another season for us. That's lilies, hostas, daylilies, peonies, hostas, astilbes, bleeding hearts, cannas, caladiums, elephant ears. So between the two seasons, we're roughly at about 1,000 different items, and I still do in half. 50% is fall. I'm sorry, 500 in the fall, 500 in the spring.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I've got it down to a T.
Like, I mean, that's you've the been
thing. And everybody, and that's, bit. Yeah, and I think that's with anybody's job. When you know what you're doing,
right.
You know, obviously, you name it, I know exactly what it is, how many it's packed in,
yep.
general price, things like that. So. Yeah,
for sure. And then are there certain items or things that you carry that kind of like span the spectrum of the season, like ranunculus?
Ranunculus, anemones, strawberries, lilies, yep. liatrices, amaryllises are probably the only items that I could say that we can carry 9 to 12 months. Okay. And over the last several years that we have ended up selling them. Ranunculus is definitely an easy one to save
for
and
sure.
anemones as well.
Yep.
So.
And the Tecoloidea ranunculus.
Yes.
Kind of like a hot new child on mm-hmm. your radar over the mm-hmm. past few years.
Yes.
Gone okay?
It's gone extremely well. Drew's laughing hysterically because he's like, why don't you give it a shot? And I was like, okay, I'm going to go for 12 varieties and I'm going to do 1,000 of each.
Keep in mind, 1,000 ranunculus roots.
I know.
Is not a lot.
No.
But thank you for trying.
No, right. So how many did we, when you came and visited us?
This past year?
Yep. In September, when we had our
Burby Fest
bulbs and blooms,
yep.
you said, how many are in here? And I said 650,000.
Yep.
And he thought I said 65,000. Yep. I said, no, 650,000 ranunculus. And that's just of the Tecoloides.
Yep. And then we also carry romance.
Romance,
as well,
yes.
Which
so,
were new.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. So the Tecoloides have a lower price point. They're packed in hundreds. They're, yep. out, let's just say, what would you say out of 190 of them are going to be single,
yeah.
maybe semi-double?
Yep, 90, 95%.
Right.
For sure.
Romance is all double.
Full 100% double.
Packed in 50s.
Yep.
The price point is more.
It is.
But
you get more reliability.
Exactly.
You get longer stems. You get bigger heads. You get more color control.
And if grown, at least in Holland, in the greenhouse, they can get up to 17
right.
Stems per.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's like dialed in.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
if you've followed kind of Clara Joyce and kind of like our seasonality, in March, I usually go to Carlsbad, which is where the Tecolote ranunculus are from. It's where they're grown. And it's so cool to see. Because the Tecolotes are grown from seed. Seed is sown in California in October. They come into bloom in March. And then those roots are dug over the summer and then shipped to people like Margolin, who can then get them to you. But if you're not familiar with Tecolotes, very, very pretty. Very pretty, almost like a poppy, anemone kind of like mashup, but still with like the productivity and the vase life and the ruggedness that you would expect from ranunculus. So they're very fun, very dainty. A lot of our designers that we sell to really like them just because they're unique. Okay, great. This was an 11-minute intro.
Yeah.
Look at you go.
I know. It's my first time. It's my first podcast.
Okay.
It is.
That's great.
Yeah.
Remember the first time that we recorded a video?
I know.
In Ohio?
I remember it.
In the hallway.
Yeah.
That was entertaining. I'm pretty sure it's still up on the Instagram feed. So if you want to go watch it.
We'll see if we can find it.
You could go back to 2020 and you can find it. Okay, cool. Let's keep moving on. Second point, our second thing is kind of expanding into or bringing into consideration like the specialty cut flower industry and grower, because that wasn't always like the primary customer that you guys sold to.
No, it wasn't. And I will say about 10 years ago, my uncle came and surprised my dad for his birthday. Actually, he did that this past year as well, but from Holland, came and surprised him. And this was about 10 years ago. And being a bulb exporter, he comes with this new product, the hydroponic tray.
Oh, the prick trays.
The prick trays.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, I don't know who's going to do that. You know, our main customers are and were garden centers, greenhouses, landscapers, botanical gardens, conservatories, universities. I mean, we sell to people like Franklin Park Conservatory, Longwood Gardens, Georgetown University. I mean, and I was thinking, no, I don't think that's those hydroponic trays are going to work. But I really liked them for amaryllises. I thought, okay, that could be something for my customers. Instead of having 24 pots of amaryllises, we could take 20 to 24 amaryllises and just put those on those trays. The trays are great. You can't overwater. You can't, I mean, there's holes on each side. And I thought, yeah, that's something. So I actually sent them out to some of my customers as trials. And I thought, again, that's, I don't know who's going to do this, but it's amazing on how much the cut flower growers are investing on their infrastructure when it comes to greenhouses and high tunnels and growing facilities. And there's a lot of trial and error.
For sure.
But where it was 10 years ago when I was sitting in the break room with him and I'm like, no, I don't know. And now here I am buying semi-loads of these hydroponic trays because...
And they're coming from Holland?
They are coming from Holland. They are coming from Holland. We can only fit 200 on a pallet, so that so the freight actually is almost more than the product, but they are reusable again. So,
and to catch you up to speed, people listening,
yes,
if you're not familiar with what a prick tray is or a hydroponic tray, it's like a rigid black plastic tray, probably like 3 inches deep. And then in this tray there's lots and lots of little pins or pricks that you are going to physically like shove the bulb onto, whether it's amaryllis or tulips or whatever you want to grow hydroponically. And there's lots of information.
So much information. Cornell University has done a wonderful study on it.
Yes. Which that was the first resource I ever looked into.
As myself as well. Since then, I have taken a class on it, as I know a few people have. But I think it's more, I mean, there's pros and cons to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. With anything.
Yes. When I was visiting Daniel
yes.
At Petal Pickers in South Carolina, he's really trying to do a good job of hydroponic forcing, and his stuff is looking great. He had this first cycle that he just pulled out in the greenhouse. He had a whole cooler full of stuff that was, you know, stuck and started to root down. I think when you have, from a grower's perspective, when you have a market that would take and request and pay for product earlier, I think it's a perfect opportunity. If you're a grower who, like myself, enjoys a little downtime, is focused on you know, doing more than just cut flowers, whether whether you're working a job or you are selling other things at different points in the season, you know, it might not always fit into the production system, but I do think that forcing tulips, especially in a hydroponic situation, has a lot of value.
Yeah, somebody said it, in my opinion, kind of perfectly. If you think about people, homeowners who can go out to their yard and pull flowers in May, June, July through the summer and bring flowers in, but everybody likes to see flowers. I mean, if you look at my house, I probably have 17 amaryllises growing.
Yeah, you do.
I do have a lot of amaryllises here in my house. They say they sell more flowers in January, February, March because there's not a huge demand and there's low inventory and supply. If you can do it, I'd highly recommend January, February, March.
Yes. And if you are a person who likes to have some very curated content prepared for you, the workshop that we referenced and I took it to is the Tulip Workshop. Lots of information.
So much.
Easily accessible.
Absolutely.
Prepped and ready to go. Now, we obviously are selling more things than just tulips and amaryllis to the cut flower grower. What are some things that you've learned over the past several years as there's been an influx in specialty cuts production from like a product perspective and also a sourcing perspective too?
Yeah, the demand is extremely high, especially with unusual varieties. That's every, you know, obviously the most that you're going to sell is your standard Darwin tulips or your single early, single lates. But obviously the doubles are harder to get, just like alliums. Alliums is another popular variety of cut flower that people want. Daffodils.
Specialty daffodils.
Obviously, I sell the most of the Yellow Dutch Master, but the one that, you know, people want all the unusual varieties of daffodils. So,
zooming out from fall product, looking into spring product. Things like dahlias,
callas,
Dutch peonies. You want to talk about that?
Dutch peonies. Obviously, Dutch peonies, they have a more unusual varieties versus the standard domestic ones. Tuberoses. I was just able to get my hand on a bunch of single tuberoses. A lot of people love the white single. Or white, the pearl. We also offer single pink, double pink, and single yellow. Yellow baby. Obviously, we have anemones and ranunculus available in the springtime as well. And
while you're thinking and leafing through the catalog, by the way, gorgeous catalogs.
Oh, thank you.
Your people who put these together, fabulous.
That would be in our office.
Exactly.
Jana.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Jana.
Shout out Jana.
Jana.
Love Jana.
I was, lilies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say a quick note on the tuberose. I'm surprised that you found the singles.
I know.
That's great. So from a grower's perspective and also a florist perspective too, the double whites are the most common. That's what we can get our hands on the most in like a traditional floral wholesale distributor. So the singles are lovely because they're just not as accessible. They're more dainty. I think they smell better.
They do. I was having a large demand for them. I haven't had them in a couple years. And I had somebody reach out to me who is also one of my customers, a cut flower grower. And he's like, hey, I came across 5,000 of these white ones. Would I, he's like, I don't know what to, how to price them. And so I said, here's this is what I've done in the past. And he says, well, I'm going to group them into two. I'm going to do a jumbo and a top size. And so we have two different size options for that. So, and we got samples sent to us so we know what they look like.
Perfect.
Yeah. So that's, that was also key.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Lilies. Let's talk about lilies.
Lilies, glads, tall garden phlocks.
What types of lilies do you offer?
We offer LA hybrids. We offer Asiatics. We offer the new rose lilies. Well, not new, but rose lilies, lotus lilies. Rose and lotus are both doubles.
I was going to say, what's the difference between lotus and rose?
So the lotus still have the pollen. The lows, the rose do not have the pollen.
Okay.
As far as, I mean, there's a little bit of a price point difference. Right. There's a patent.
On the rose.
Yeah, on the rose.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So you have to pay the royalties on that. Or it's already included in the price, but right. We pay the royalties.
Yeah, yep. Okay, cool. Yep. So from like a bigger picture, you would say that one of, or maybe two differences between a nursery mm-hmm. client of yours mm-hmm. and a cut flower client of mm-hmm. yours would be?
Nursery is doing a lot of pot lilies. They do smaller pot pixie lilies.
Okay.
They're putting 3 into a gallon yep. and selling them that way.
Yep.
And the lilies, we pack them in 25s,
yep.
which if it's a LA hybrid, you could probably get away with putting 20 to 25 in a crate. It's going to be tight. It's going to be real tight.
Yep.
I've done 13, but I know not everybody has the space for that.
Yep.
I
know we would usually run like 18 to 20
mm-hmm.
lilies per crate, but that's going to depend on how big the bulb is when it comes in.
Yeah, if you're getting a smaller bulb, I mean, we probably have a medium-sized bulb. We don't have overly small.
Right.
But, yeah, lilies, super easy, and I love growing them in crates. That's one thing I do at work.
For sure.
Yeah.
What other summer product we got?
Gladiolas.
Is there summer product available for pre-ordering for next year? Or what's the pre-ordering timeline looking like?
Okay, so right now we're obviously in full-on winter, spring.
When we're recording this.
Right now, yes. When this goes live, I hope to be halfway through my fall season of bulbs. So tulips will already be on pre-order. Everything for fall will be on pre-order, and depending on when this goes live, spring will probably be towards the end of the summer.
But from like a general rule of thumb, when something is blooming, we as growers should be pre-ordering it from you at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just obviously keeping in mind that you don't want to go all crazy and buy as many as you can and then decide that you don't want them later, you know, to try to get them. But there's always inventory. There's, mm-hmm. I mean, there's pretty much always inventory, so.
Okay. Yes, when you do pre-order, mm-hmm. and I am also guilty of this,
mm-hmm.
pre-order what you need,
mm-hmm.
not what you want.
Yes.
Because it does make headaches and hiccups.
Yeah, for everybody.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Because when you pre-order more than you think you need,
uh-huh.
that's taking away product that...
Somebody else could have. Yeah. That somebody else could have.
For sure.
So.
Okay, cool. Anything else we should cover on point number 2? Which was expanding into the cut flower industry.
No, I'm sure I'll hit something.
Really nice dahlia collection this year.
Thank you.
By the way.
Thanks. That was kudos to you because I asked you, I said, look at this catalog I got from Holland, and you circled all the ones that I should do. So if you like our selection, thank Drew.
Or if you don't like the selection... Don't tell me.
thank Drew for the selection this year.
Go back. Primavera? That's pretty.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Primavera.
Peonies.
Mm-hmm.
So these peonies in the catalog are mm-hmm. Dutch peonies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. And this was interesting for me when I first started working with you. Dutch peonies through Burby are available in the spring.
Correct.
And then domestic peonies are available in the fall.
Yes.
And this was a little bit of a difference between other brokers like Edney.
Yeah.
It's just one other thing to keep in mind from like the purchaser's perspective. Because if you are looking for that specialty peony, like Bowl of Cream.
Which we offer. We offer. Because Drew recommended it.
And I have pre-ordered it for this spring.
Yes.
You just have to be patient.
Yeah. So, and that's because anything that comes into the United States needs to be washed.
Yep.
And they have to wash it right before the eye becomes exposed because they use a hot water treatment. And otherwise, they will basically... It'll cook it. So I can't, that's why, our peonies are one of the first ones to come in January. And that is when the unusual ones are mostly available, things that are not available, such as bowl of cream and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Looking at fall of 2023,
yep.
there is a large West Coast grower who is already making plans to be phasing out,
and what?
He did a lot. Yeah.
Fuck.
And so there is a chance that we're going to try to bring in, because we put in a new cooling unit this year. We have 9 and we'll have 10. I've been saying 9 for 20 some years. We will now have 10 temperature controlled rooms, and one of the ones that we are putting in right now is going to be a perennial cold storage unit. So the hope is that we'll be able to get in peonies in the fall time and have it be those specialties.
Okay.
It'll just be added on to our
fall. And this will be like a one hit wonder if he's phasing out, or is this going to be like a repeat thing?
What do you mean?
Like, will we be able to get product from him for years to come, or will
no,
this...
No, I think he's... I mean, he's done after this spring.
Right, it's a one-hit wonder situation.
Yeah, done. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, so... yeah. So okay. It'll be interesting to see what's going to happen with the fall perennials, because like you said, yeah, a lot of people do plant perennials. There's typically three times a year that people are planting. They're either planting in the fall,
yep.
in October, November.
Yep.
They're either planting in February, March, or they're waiting until the beginning of the summer in June.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But peonies, as you know, is a three-year crop.
Yeah.
So put down the pruners. That's what they say, 3 years.
Put down the snips.
Yeah.
Take care of it.
Yeah.
Because if you take care of it, it'll take care of you.
Right.
And just be patient.
Yep.
With peonies. But also the flip side of that is invest now.
Oh my gosh, absolutely, yeah. And slowly invest.
For sure.
I mean, they're not
They're not going away.
They're not going away. They're not cheap, but you're going to get a lot of flowers of them.
For sure.
I mean, definitely over the course of the years.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Okay. Wonderful. Lovely.
Okay.
Ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Last point. Oh, this is interesting. But that is talking about the difference between, or like the different types of clients that you serve, and like their needs.
Yeah.
Wants and needs. And we're going to kind of like bundle into this, like the different sizes of clients that you serve as well. So let's talk about from like a bulb broker's perspective. Things do you think about when you're, you know, reserving product? Based off of your clientele. So like you have people who are growing for market and they're going to need one thing, and you have florists, like florist growers.
Yep.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So we have florists. We have people who are doing farmers markets. We have universities. We have landscapers. We have people who are doing things hydroponically. We have people doing crates. We have, you know, people doing for Easter forcing. That's a whole nother game is
that.
Pre-cooled and what the 5C program is. And oh gosh, that should be an episode all by itself.
Okay.
Add it to the list. But so when I'm, making my wish list, which that already starts in January.
Yep.
For the following fall, and we do garden centers too. Like, so we have retail display boxes. So those customers.
What is a retail display box?
So a retail display box is basically a, we call it a bin box, which has a picture on the front and then then bulbs loose on the inside with tags.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so.
So a piece like that would be more so oriented to someone selling the bulbs direct to customers
at the
time of planting.
Yes.
Okay.
So, a garden center,
yep.
they would sell them.
But that could also work really great for someone who is doing farmers markets and needed like a fall item to bulk out a display.
Yeah.
That'd be easy peasy.
Yeah. Yeah. So we offer what's called a fall starter collection. So if you've never done one before, it's just a little bit of everything. Tulips, daffodils, hyacinths, crocus, allium. You get literature that goes with it, little handouts, because, you know, people love to take handouts.
And, they sure do.
But yeah, so that part of the season starts in September around Labor Day.
Okay, cool. So that kind of talks about like farmers market and growers, right?
Yeah, that would be farmers markets. Excuse me. Somebody who has a garden center.
Yep.
Somebody who's even selling them. I think you do it. You do a bulb bar.
Oh, yeah. Fall bulb. Yeah,
absolutely. You do a bulb bar.
Yep.
So where you've pictures and people can come and buy and all selling online.
Yep. So from your perspective now, differences in someone growing for florist sales.
Florist sales. Yeah, you've got obviously more of the softer tones, the peaches and the pinks and the whites, and or you could have somebody who wants darker colors for a wedding, or you know, if you're trying to attract somebody from a far distance, it's typically easier to find somebody who's going to find something that pop of color.
Right, for sure. Is there any? This is probably not something that you like run across, but is there, or do you see any differences in like ordering habits outside of color? Like, are growers that are growing for florist sales purchasing different types of product, different volumes of product, different sizes of product, rather than someone who is growing for like direct to retail sale?
Direct to retail sale is probably, they would rather have, let's just say peonies. They'd rather have 10 varieties, 10 of each, because we sell peonies in tens,
yep,
versus a larger customer is going to order 150 per crate.
Right.
Okay. So I would probably say volume would be a direct
indication.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Biggest difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would say, I mean, there's still the trends that are still the same. People are ordering staple items. I would say it's probably 80-20. So 80%, I know what I like. 20%, I'm going to get something. Get something new.
Okay, cool. Sweet. And then one of the things that is unique that you've kind of mentioned a few times is that you do offer small packs.
Yes.
Where did that come from? Why is it a thing? Is it unique, semi-unique to Burbies?
So having our own garden center, we want to be different than if a customer is going to a big box store.
Okay.
Big box store is probably going to have 5 varieties of hostas.
Yep.
We have 25 varieties of hostas. We have anywhere from, you know, your classic Patriot, Sub and Substance, but we also have Blue Mouse ears, we have Mickey Mouse, we have White Feather. So we have different hostas. And so I always say my brother would rather have 10 varieties, 10 of each, than 4 varieties, 25 of each, or even 1 variety of 150.
Right.
So I would say our customer base does both. We have customers who order in full cases, and they get obviously a volume discount.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have customers who order in our small pack, and we don't have any dollar or boxing minimum.
Right.
And most of our orders, if we can, we'll ship them in black crates because we know that that's what the...
Yes.
We know that customers want those, and we have them. And so it also helps with shipping.
Yep.
It keeps keeps things sturdy
for sure
inside the box.
Yep.
But for sure, you know, we can fill a box, and we can get you 500 tulips, 5 varieties, 100 of each,
right,
if that's what you wanted.
Right. And I think that is one nice thing too, is since you do offer like the small pack of a lot of things.
Yeah.
If you were, let's say, a new grower coming into it, not quite sure what you want, perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
Or you could be someone like us and want to try something new.
Yeah.
But before we go and spend $1,000 on it, you know, maybe do a little trial beforehand.
Yeah.
To make sure that it's going to be what we want.
And that's exactly... That's another reason why we do it, is because, you know, not everybody can, you know, get 5 varieties, 550 tulips.
Yeah.
So.
Totally.
Yep.
Makes perfect sense.
I think so.
Well, I mean, shit, I hope it does make sense. This is your
gig. We keep doing it.
Yeah, this is your gig. Okay, other exciting things on the horizon. What should people be aware of?
We have some new anemones this year. We started those a couple years ago. We do the Jerusalem and the Carmel, and we are adding in Galilee and
Marin.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the white with the black eye is the most popular.
So popular.
Blue with black eye. So we feel like we've ordered a lot, and those will end up going live. I know. I say that. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things of I should just order double every time, but
see, but we don't know.
You don't. Right. You really don't know, and it's unfortunately I already placed this order for anemones in fall of 2022 for fall of 2023 delivery, mm-hmm. and
so your orders are already a year.
Yes, my orders are already a year out, and we did not in the past 3 years we have not had to do that. But because of
so much interest
and high demand, you know, customers are ordering. They are ordering earlier, but the growers obviously
are still on nature's timeline.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't make them move any faster.
Right.
So
this is another interesting thing, mm-hmm. because we've kind of talked about this before outside of this, but. Mm-hmm. With so much interest in the mm-hmm, industry, mm-hmm. so much demand for product, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. we don't really want people to like freak out and order way, way, way in advance, right?
Right. So I've had probably I've had more people ask this year,
okay,
than I have.
Do you feel like it's necessary?
No.
Okay.
I don't feel like it's necessary. I feel like there's a push for it.
And within the grower industry.
Yes.
Within like the finished cut flower grower like me.
Yes. Because everybody wants that certain bulb.
Labella pock or some bullshit.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the reality is that there's only
X amount, and the, you know, if it was up to me, I'd buy them all, but I'm not the only bulb importer.
Exactly.
And he doesn't want to put all his eggs in one basket, so he's going to give everybody a little bit of piece of the pie. And again, like you said, it is still a live product, so
you
just hope that you get it. Yeah. Another thing I'm doing this year is we had a lot of interest in amaryllises, and they want larger sizes.
Yay!
And so, yes, we are offering each variety of amaryllises that are Christmas forcing, we will offer in two different sizes. We'll offer a regular size and a jumbo size.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Speaking of amaryllis,
yes.
That little community sponsorship thing that we did this past winter.
Yes, yes.
Amazing.
Yep. We did double or a triple white.
We did, double white and then double red.
Yeah.
Totally great.
Yep.
So if you are listening and you missed that, Drew had a whoopsie. And ordered too many amaryllis,
mm-hmm.
and was basically left with like 300 amaryllis bulbs at the mm-hmm. end of the Christmas mm-hmm. season.
I know.
Not really where you want to be
from a car's
perspective. So most of them were already pre-started, so it's not like I could hold them for, I was going to say Thanksgiving, but uh-huh. hold them for Valentine's Day. Uh-huh. Can't do that. Uh-huh. They're too far along. So we did a community sponsorship. Where people could pay $10, and then for that $10, we would deliver this amaryllis planter. Yes. It's a single bulb planter to an assisted living space in our area, and it went very, very, very well. It was a really great way to kind of build community interest. A lot of people found out about us through that. It was a great PR process, so we're doing it again.
Yeah, I know Leo Burby.
Yes, Leo Burby did sponsor.
We did sponsor.
Yes, you did. Thanks.
Yes.
For doing that.
Yes.
So things that I think we should touch on just mm-hmm. as we're wrapping this
yes,
up.
Yes, please.
When a crop is blooming this year, order mm-hmm. it for next year.
Yes.
Give yourself that cushion of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to give people like Marjolin, who are on the back end of the industry, enough time to source and figure all that out from an ordering perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Order within reason.
Mm-hmm.
If you only need 500 tulips, don't order 5,000. And then cancel 4,500 of them
mm-hmm.
the week before they're supposed to ship.
Mm-hmm.
And try new things. With Burbies offering small pack quantities, you have access to things in 10 counts and 25 counts, depending on what it is. So it's perfect, perfect to try something new.
Yeah.
And see how your customer base reacts to it. So.
Yep.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. My first podcast.
Look at you go.
I know.
You've done so well.
It was definitely a fun thing to do.
And thanks for being a pal.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of fun over the past
couple of years. We have had. I mean, I feel like I've known you forever.
Well, you know. I'm a pretty old bitch. I'll be 25 when this episode goes live.
Right. And that'll remind me that I'm old enough to be your mom. Yeah. I'm just joking.
All right, guys. That's all for today's episode. Come back next week. I have no clue as to when this is going to go live, so I'm not going to tell you what to expect for next week's episode, but I'm sure it'll be lovely. If you have any questions for Marjolyn, send her an email. Burbies also has an Instagram presence and page as well, so you can follow them on Instagram. Marjolyn's email and the email for the office is on the website.
Yes.
So, yep. Also, the staff in at Burbies' office is lovely. If you want to call, like I like to call sometimes, they'll pick up the phone.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So, thank you for Burbies for everything that you do for the industry, for our farm, for future clients, etc. And thank you, listener, for being here, being engaged, interested, and making the world a better place. Any other bullshit I should tag on the end of this?
No. I mean, I feel like our slogan is the same, helping you grow a more beautiful world.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I didn't even try to do that. All right. Bye.
Bye.